The song that we're going to do, my wife wrote the song, it's called Faithful Men. Ready? But I'm not. Is that too loud?
Long ago on Calvary, Jesus shed his blood for me. Alone he died upon a tree. And all he asks is that a faithful be. Jesus lives in me today. And where I go, he leads the way. Faithful men we all must be, faithful to the very end. Jesus died for you and me, and all he asks is that we faithful be. Jesus calls us to obey, and yet we often go astray. Still he has a plan for us, and all he asks is that we faithful be. Some may serve him here at home, others there in distant lands. Wherever he has called us to, all he asks is that we faithful be. Faithful men we all must be, faithful to the very end. Jesus died for you and me, and all he asks is that we faithful be. All around us are lost souls, souls for whom the Lord has died. We must go and share his love, and all he asks is that we faithful be. Someday soon our Lord will come and take us to his home above. And when we stand before his throne, will we hear, my child, well done? Faithful men we all must be, faithful to the very end. Jesus died for you and me, and all he asks is that we faithful be. Faithful men we all must be, faithful to the very end. Jesus died for you and me, and all he asks is that we faithful be. Jesus died for you and me, and all he asks is that we faithful be.
wondered how this holy place could take a man like him. With shouts of great rejoicing and with music then they came. And his angels standing by him, he asked what could be their name. These are the company of prophets, the goodly fellowship of souls, who spake God's word with faith and boldness, who blessed the poor and made the wounded whole. Oh, he fell upon his knees and cried, I am not one of these. He waited till another band of shiny ones drew nigh. They entered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. He asked again, who are these? Can you tell me whence they came? He seemed to see the answer in a burning tongue of flame. These are the company of martyrs, the mighty fellowship of saints, who knew our Lord and walked beside him, who ran the holy race and did not faint. Oh, he fell upon his knees and cried, I am not one of these. Then suddenly a multitude was heard from far away. Their voices rang with songs of joy like children at their play. He saw Rahab, he saw David, Mary Magdalene and Paul. The thief who died by Jesus was the one who led them all. Who are these? He almost shouted at the angels. These are the sinners saved by grace, the host of them who called upon the Savior, washed in blood and justified by faith. And oh, he leapt up from his knees. My heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in. Oh, we thought that there could be no hallelujahs and no cries for this lowly band of people by the world despised. But as the scenes of heaven opened up before his eyes, he saw the martyrs and the prophets and the host of heaven rise. And they sang, I can go in, for my heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, I can go in, I can go in.
To take our Bibles and stand, if you would, with me for the stand of the reading of the Word of God. I want us to take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And a lot of times when we turn to the book of Hebrews, I want you to, many times I've heard it said, the book of Hebrews is written to the Hebrews to encourage them about stop being Hebrews, amen, because of the way of their behavior. I want to share with you tonight something that I believe that happens in many times in Christians' lives when it comes to persecution. And when we go through a lot of things in our lives, what happens to us? We have a tendency, just like the Hebrews, we want to go back to what we used to do. Amen. We want to go turn back to those things that we are familiar with. And you know, when you think about it tonight, if you're not serving God, you're serving the devil.
That's right.
And when we're not living for God and we turn away from God, we're turning back to the things of the world that are contrary to the word of God. I want to pick it up here in verse number 36, because when I read this area of scripture, God spoke to my heart here about this area. And I want to share some things tonight with you about what he is warning them about, the possibility of what happens when we turn back from God. Look at verse number 36, and we're going to read 36 down to 39. I want to try to captivate this entire chapter somewhat, but part of it, and bring us to something that I believe that we need to do that would help us from going away from God. Notice what he says in verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, here it is, draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house. And God, I'm not worthy of a servant to stand at your stead, but I pray tonight that you might fill me with your spirit, empty me of self, Lord, and you forgive me of any sin that would be a hindrance to that which you want to say and do here tonight. We praise you and thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. We thank you for the visitors. We thank you that we can come into the house of the God, Lord, and be encouraged tonight from your word. And God, I pray that there be one here this night under the sound of my voice that does not know Christ as Savior. God, I pray that this will be the night. This will be the opportunity that will be presented to them. Him would be a man, woman, boy, girl that's here tonight that does not know Christ as Savior. God, I pray that they make that decision for you before it's eternally too late. Bless now, I praise. Fill me again, I say, with your spirit. Use me in a special way. Lord, may I speak only that which you have to be said, that it might be used for the edifying and glorying of your Son and to speak to your people. We ask these things and they're in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. As I think about the book of Hebrews, and most of us are familiar with two words that I believe that are so prevalent in the book of Hebrews. And one of those two words is that of faith. The Bible talks about faith, and Hebrews is constantly referring to our faith about how we should live. And it is our faith that we need to live out, because the other word that he talks about is the hope of what we have because of the faith that we exercise that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So he tells them here, even here, that if we're going to live for God, there are some things that need to happen in our lives. And we have a need of patience, because a lot of times when we're going through trials and when we're going through persecution in our lives, we have a tendency that we want to go back to what we are familiar and get away from the things of God. But Bible tells us that we are in need of patience in our lives. And the Bible also tells us in James chapter number 1, you don't have to turn there tonight, but James tells us, he says that, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I look at Hebrews chapter number 11 as it follows, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and is the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understood that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of the things which do appear. And it goes on and gives us a laundry list of men, women, and boys and girls that had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was their faith that they needed to hold on to when they're going through trials. And that's what the book of Hebrews was written to them about. But I want us to think about it tonight. When we think about the things that would happen that would cause a person to want to turn back from the things of God, I believe there's three things that happens in a Christian's life that would allow them or would be persuading to them And we find it in the book of Hebrews that what happens is that a person that would turn back, and he cautions them, as we could go through Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8, all the way up till we get to chapter 10. And he would give us some illustrations of some things that would cause us to want to turn back from the things of God. I believe one of the things that will happen to us as Christians when it comes to turning back from God, the believer here that he's even talking to would begin to drift away from the Word of God. When we don't spend the time that we ought to in the Word of God, we begin to drift away from the things of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse number 4 as we kind of want to set the stage here as to what he's writing, why he's writing, the writer that's writing here. We see in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse 1, he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Because when we let those things slip away from us, we begin to drift away from the Word of God. And as soon as we begin to drift, notice what happens next. We begin to doubt the Word of God. And when we drift away from the Word of God, we're certainly going to doubt the Word of God. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 7. He says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. And when the fathers tempt me, prove me, and saw my work, my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved that the generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways, because they were beginning to drift, and they were beginning to doubt the Word of God. I'm so glad tonight that we don't have to doubt the Word of God. Amen. Because Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 3, chapter 4 and verse 12, because from here, from chapter 3 all the way down to verse 12, it talks about how they were doubting the Word of God. I'm glad it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joint and the marrow and the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. That's how powerful the Word of God can be in our lives. And when we begin to drift, we begin to doubt, and we become dull of hearing. We do not want to hear the Word of God, and we become lazy. Look at chapter number 5 and verses 5 of verse number 11. We could go down from verse 11 all the way to down to verse 6 and verse 12, but we won't read all of that for the sake of time. But he says in verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, and hear and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that someone teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of meat and not of strong meat. Because the Word of God becomes dull to them. They become hard of hearing, and they become lazy in their spiritual life. And here is, we get to chapter number 10, and Paul is writing, and he's telling them about not turning back because of all of the things that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the thing that you have in Jesus Christ is the very thing that ought to keep you going forward, not going backwards. Amen. Even when persecution comes, even when trials come into our lives, I can tell you tonight that I have no desire to go back to my old lifestyle. Amen. I don't want to go back to religion, because I want to stay in the relationship that I have with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian life is not about religion. Religion is sending people to hell. Don't go back to your religion. Stay in your relationship. I believe that Paul is trying to encourage them to do. And I want to encourage us tonight to take heed and guard our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we don't guard our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what we do? We fall back into a sinful lifestyle. Because we drift away We doubt the word of God. We become dull of hearing. And notice what he says in verse number 26. Because when we see the caution that's given, I want us to notice, first of all, the warning that he gives them about turning back and turning away from the things of God. Let's turn back over to our area where we find our text, and it is in Hebrews chapter 10. And look at verse 26. Notice what happens here in verse number 26. He says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. In other words, he's warning them about the fact that when we turn away from God, we get into such a sinful lifestyle that we've already know what the word of God says. We know what we ought to do, but we willfully go back to a sinful actions and behavior. And we willfully do it when we think about the warning that he gives us here. He says, let your conduct or your conduct and your attitude is going to intentionally cause your conduct to for willfully or something that you do intentionally. And it's not by accident when you turn back to those things that you used to do that are contrary to the things of the word of God. Amen. So they intentionally do that, but notice that not only the intention of their conduct, but notice it's inexcusable. He says, because after, in verse 24, after you have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice. They knew exactly how they ought to behave. And the spiritual privileges that we have, folks, I'm telling you tonight, we have no excuse for turning back from the things of God. Amen. This is what we lose when we turn away from the things of God. And when I'm thinking about this tonight, he says, for if you willfully sin or you sin willfully after the things that you have received, the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. But a certain fearful looking for of the judgment of the fiery indignations which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. What I was saying tonight, when we get drift away, when we doubt, and when the word of God becomes dull to us, we begin to despise the word of God. What a sad testimony for a Christian when we begin to despise the word of God. Because when we know what we ought to do, and we do it willfully, we are inexcusable for our behavior. And when I think about that tonight, let's turn over to 2 Samuel chapter number 12. And one of the greatest examples of someone who had been warned, who knew what to do, but he willfully sinned, even though he knew that what he was doing was wrong. Let's pick up the story as we look at David. And Nathan confronts David, and he gives him an example, and he says, David, thou art the man. Amen. Look at verse number 7 of 2 Samuel chapter number 12 and verse 7. And Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wife into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if there had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore thou hast what? Thou hast despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight. And because of this, he said, the sword, he says, in thy sight, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and thou hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast done what? Despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee in thine house, and would give against thee in thine house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son, because he despised the word of the Lord. See, David knew what he was supposed to do. You and I know what we are supposed to do. When the Bible speaks of us despising the word of God, and we're going to see this in scripture, you know what it's actually saying? That we would know what we ought to do, and we take the word of God and we almost trample it with our feet to say that it is not what I want to live by. Because we despise it in such a way that I'm not going to do what God says to do. David knew what he was supposed to do. David sinned against God. And when we willfully sin against God, we turn away from God. You know what? God is going to judge us, and he's going to hold us accountable for our actions. God held David accountable for his action. You know what? You might get away with it. I'm glad tonight that David confessed his sin, because the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. David did confess to God. That's why Psalms 51 tells us the heart of David, when he despised the word of God, he knew what he was supposed to do. He did it anyway, but he confessed to God. God, have mercy on me. Aren't you glad that God is a merciful God? And when we willfully sin, that God is willing to forgive us. But you know what? We still got to live those consequences. And David went through God's judgment. And David cried out to God that he says, I'd rather fall into the hands of a living God, the fearful hands of a living God, than you to turn me over to man. Because David knew that God was merciful. And when we turn back or we turn away, we're saying to God, we despise your word. We don't want to live by your word. We want to do our own thing. And what a tragic thing it is today. And that's what he's warning them of, that they willfully turned away from God, and their conduct was inexcusable, because what David did was inexcusable. And you know what? He was inflicted with the consequences of God's judgment and the fearful judgment that is going to come upon the life of a Christian because he turns away from God. Notice what it says in verse 27. But the certain fearful looking for the judgment of the fury indignations which shall devour the adversary. He that despises Moses' law die without mercy under two or three witnesses. Oh, how much sore punishment suppose ye, in verse 29 of Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm back there again. Amen. Oh, how much sorrow or punishment suppose ye shall be thou worthy who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sacrificed an unholy thing have done despite unto the spirit of grace. Because that's what David did. It's like you take the word of God and we trample it under our feet to say we despise it. We're not going to live by it. What a tragedy tonight that we as Christians would allow that to happen. It's inexcusable. You know what? The judgment was going to be fearful. The judgment is fury and it's forceful. God had to judge David because of his conduct. And he compromised this warning, and he despised the law of Moses. And David is our example here, as we can see the warning that was given here of what goes on in the life of a Christian when we turn away from the things of God. The warning here. But I want us to notice not only the warning, but I want us to notice the warfare that was given. Look at verse number 32 of this same area of Scripture. He says, for we know him that have said, vengeance belongeth to me, unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. And that's what he did to David. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The warfare, the persecution of this warfare, we find in verse number 32. Notice what it says. But call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst ye were made a gazer stock, both to by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst thou became a companions of them that were so use. For ye have compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoils of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and endure substance. So we see the warfare that was going on here. When persecution comes, the Christian wants to turn away and go back to what they were accustomed to. I wanted you to notice that when persecution comes, it comes in various ways. This scripture here, verse 32, tells us that first of all, there's physical abuse when it comes to persecution. How many of you have been physically abused? The thing about the word used here for physical abuse is affliction. That we have been abused socially. A lot of times we can be abused socially, socially abused. Verbally abused is the word used for reproach. When we think of social abuse, it's talking about the Gaserstock. A verbal abuse, all were very painful things when we think about when it comes to how we've been persecuted. And when I think about all of those things that happened, the warfare that was going on, I think of Job and all of the things that Job went through. Job went through persecution physically, amen? He went through it socially. When you think about the physical, he had boils, where the Bible tells us, from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Socially, his wife told him, why don't you curse God? And Job, why don't you just curse God and die? You think about verbally, even his friends abused him and how they persecuted Job, even socially. How you like for your friends to come over and visit with you and then they don't say nothing to you? They just sit and look at you because they felt like Job was guilty of some sin. So they were socially not even being kind to him. And they verbally abused him. When they did speak to him, they verbally abused him and accused him of things that Job did not do. They said, we know, Job, that you had to be doing something that God would not have you to do for you to be going through all of the things that you're going through. But I want us to notice something about these people that that the writer is telling us that they did do that we have to give them some compensation for. Notice he says here in verse number 34, the perspective that they had in this warfare that was going on. I believe we as Christians got to have the right kind of perspective when it comes to going through persecution. Notice the perspective that they had. The persecution did not cause the saints to deny their faith or to forsake other Christian brethren who were going through the same kind of persecution or who were even in prison. Notice what verse 34 says. For ye have compassion of me and my bonds. In other words, he was in jail, but yet they were still had compassion for him. And took joyfully the spoils of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. In other words, their compassion that they showed him, even the persecution that they were going through, they did not turn away from did not deny their faith. The poverty that they were going through, they still had great joy, even though they were willing to give up their goods in order to help somebody else. They did it with joy. Amen. Because of their heavenly reward or the heavenly perspective that they had. A lot of times we as Christians, when we lose our possessions and when we're being persecuted, we want to turn away from the things of God. We want to turn away from the house of God, the people of God, even those that are going through hard times. We don't want to have anything to do with them. But you know what? They didn't do that. They still looked to them. They still had respect for them. They still cared for them because that's what kept them going, because they had the right perspective, because they had this attitude. Even losing all of those things, they still look forward to what? Their heavenly rewards, their heavenly benefits. And that's the kind of perspective that you and I need to have when we're going through things in our lives. You know, this life, this world, we're just passing through it. And nothing that we have in possessions, nothing that we're going to go through in persecution should to deter us from living for God. If you really think about it. We can't take one thing that we have in this world with us to heaven. Not one thing. And yet we become so attached to it, we get defeated, we get downhearted. If we lose our jobs, if we lose our homes, we lose our family. Not our family, don't want to lose our family. You lose our possessions, and we get all, Pastor Cummins said, we get all bally foxed up. it messes us up for life. But you know what? If we have the right perspective about the greatest rewards, the greatest benefits that we're going to ever have, they're going to be in heaven.
Amen.
And we ought not be so attached to things of this world that if we lose it all, I won't lose my salvation.
That's right.
I won't lose my place in heaven. I won't lose my rewards because they're going to be there. And those are the things that are eternal. These things of this world, you know what? They may just burn up. We may lose them all tomorrow, but I won't lose my salvation. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And if I keep the right perspective, that's going to help me not to deny the Lord and not to despise his word, not to drift from it, not to deny it, and not become dull of hearing it. And I won't despise it. I got to keep the right perspective. There's a warfare. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. If the devil can defeat you with your persecution and your possessions, you'll never do anything for God. You'll never be of any earthly use to God. And he knows that. And when a Christian, when we're going through things in our lives, if we continue to allow the devil to have his way, he will allow these things to happen. And this is where we get defeated and our attitude is going to change. The faith that we need to have is knowing ye have a heaven that is awaiting an enduring substance that we know that is involved, and it's all by having faith in Jesus Christ. Is having faith in what God is going to provide for us that's already there. They believe what the word of God said about their having substance in heaven. No man could take away what you have waiting for you in heaven if you serve God and get the rewards that are waiting for you because you remain faithful to God. That was the joy and the consolation that was before them. I think about our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And he did it for you and I. And the persecution and the wrongdoing and the harsh treatment. He was looking forward to one day going and sitting down at the right hand of his Father. And one day we're going to be there just like he is. Amen. But we need to understand some things that we need not to walk away. We need not to be warned of that was given here. The warfare that goes on, because we're going to go through some physical abuse. We're going to go through some social abuse. We're going to go through some verbal abuse in our Christian life. Because he went through it, you're going to go through it. And earthly possessions ought not be the things that would keep us off track when it comes to the things of God. Because they are there awaiting for us, and we can look forward to those things. But you know what that we need to do? We find here in verse number 36. We need to wait. That is one of the hardest things that he's warning us that we need to do. Notice in verse number 35, he says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which ye have great recompense of reward. In other words, the therefore is therefore what he's already told them about the warfare and told them about the warfare and told them about this warning that he had given them. And so he says, therefore, he says, therefore, cast not away, therefore, the confidence that we ought to have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The confidence that we have. He says, for ye have need of patience, that after that ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Waiting is one of the hardest things for us to do as Christians. We don't want to wait for anything. We live in a microwave society. We want everything right now. We want it to happen right away. But you know what? One of the greatest attributes to the Christian life is being able to wait for God to do what it is that he wants to do. And understand that we already said it about James, because patience is something that every one of us as Christians need in our life. Why is it so important for us to wait? I was telling my wife today, I remember growing up, when we had to wait for something, my brother and I had to work many years before we were old enough to get license. But when we got old enough to get license, my dad bought us a car. And I tell you what, it didn't have a whole lot of paint on it, and it didn't have a whole lot of paint on after we got it, because we washed it, we cleaned it, we did everything. Miss White, she was my girlfriend, she drove it, didn't have no license at all, drove that car. But you know, because we worked and we waited for it, we had the greater appreciation for it.
That's right.
Because waiting builds patience. And patience is what we need in our Christian life. Because the greatest blessings and rewards that we're going to have, they're not going to all be given to us right away.
That's right.
I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to walking on the streets of gold.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to seeing relatives. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. I want to see those nail-pierced hands that he had and the blood. Now, I want to see the blood, but I want to see those piercing that's in his side, because he did that for you and I. And the greatest joy that we have in the blessings are not going to come right away.
Right.
But when they do come, we can look back and say, you know what? It really wasn't that bad waiting for it. And I appreciate it a whole lot more.
Right.
How many of us can say tonight that we looked at things when they're happening in our lives and thought we could never get through it? Brother Jesse is a testimony of it. But you know what? When you look back, it wasn't all that bad. And the things that you learn from it, you learn something about yourself. But you know what? When you wait, you learn something about your God.
Right.
You know what? He's good. He makes no mistakes in what he does. He knows exactly how to bend us, but not to break us. He knows how to build us and not to tear us down. He knows the right temperature that we need to be under. To pierce us, or to purify us, to get us to be more like his son, Jesus Christ. He knows exactly what it takes.
Right.
And you know what? If it was left up to us, we wouldn't do it the way that he does it. But when we look back, I praise God for what he's allowed me to go through. Because it makes you the person that he wants you to be. And I believe one day when this life is over, and when we get to the pearly gates, and we see Jesus, we're going to say, man, it seemed like this life just went by just like that. Just like that. Because life is but a vapor. It appeared for a little while and then it's gone. But you know what? When this life is over, however he decides to take me, whether it be by the upper taker, I don't want to go by the undertaker. I want to go by the upper taker. Amen. And when I look back, I'm going to say it has been good to serve God. Even through all that we go through, you know, when it's all over, we're going to be in his presence.
Amen.
And that is the blessing. And we need patience. James says, patience, let patience have its perfect work. In other words, it is to mature us, that you'll be wanting nothing. And nothing can happen in our lives that we can't deal with, because God knows exactly what it is that we need in our Christian life.
Right.
He knows exactly what we need. He knows what we need. So the waiting was necessary. Waiting here is the exhortation, and waiting here is cast not away, therefore, the confidence that you have in what God is doing. Be encouraged in this waiting, because the reward is greater. The knowledge of knowing that one day we're going to be in his presence ought to be encouraging enough. And the exercise for this waiting, you have need of patience. God says we need it. Patience requires us to wait. And the struggle of all saints is that we're gonna have to wait. It may not happen tomorrow. I think about my daughter who needed a job. And I tell my wife today, I believe that she didn't want to go where she was in Boise, Louisiana. Amen. But now that she's there, it's the perspective of how that has changed her life. And we try to get her to see, you know what, when God moves you, you may not want to go there. I had no desire to come to Tucson, Arizona. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm so thankful that God brought me here, because God has done some wonderful things in my life. He's done some wonderful things in my family. You think about where you are tonight and all of the things that you've gone through, even in this last year, because this year is coming to an end. You know, many people didn't see 2016 to its end. And there may be some of us here tonight that may not see 2017 come in. But you know what? If you're sitting here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you know what? What I would encourage you to do? You need to get saved. Because no days are promised to you. And that is the blessing of what we had to look for. So we see the exhortation, we see the encouragement, we see the exercise, because we need the patience and we struggle with it. But as saints of God, we need encouragement. But the expectations we find in verse number 7:37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. You know what? If we don't come, that he takes us home, we'll be here when he comes through the cloud. What a joy that ought to be to us, expecting him to come. And we ought to expectantly look forward to him coming with great anticipation. Amen. That is what we ought to have to look forward to. And we ought to want to keep moving forward. Don't go back. Don't want to go back to that old lifestyle. Don't want to go back to those things. But here's what we ought to do, that we ought to walk in this need that he's telling us about, this walk. Look at verse number 38. We ought to walk a certain way. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. In other words, the principle here is for us to walk, and we walk by faith. I think about it tonight. As he's following this chapter, as he comes to an end, faith really is just simply this. Faith is simply believing God. And he gives us a laundry list of people following this, what he's talking about in chapter number 11. And we have seen it many of times. And he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice what he says also, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. And it was because of his faith. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found because God translated him, for because of his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And the Bible tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark of the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heirs of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was old, when he was called to go out to a place which he should, after receive the, for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned into a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with of the same promise. They all did it because of their faith, because of faith in God, because of faith in God. So we need to walk by faith. We don't live by sight. We live by faith, because if we could see it, it's not faith. Amen. Because it's not the things that are hoped for. If you can see it, it's not by faith. That's what's so good about our salvation. It's all about faith. Amen. It's about faith that's trusting God. And it's by faith that we live after we trust him with our salvation. Amen. 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 Oh my. Amen. Amen. So we see here the walking by faith. The pearls of it that we find here, the principle, then we find a pearl here in this walking. The pearl is this, as he says in verse number, the one here in verse number 38. He says, my soul, the lateral part of it, he says, my soul has no pleasure in him. In other words, Paul is saying he has no pleasure in those that turn back. And neither does our Lord have pleasure in it. Because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. So if we don't live by faith, we're not pleasing to God. Amen? So it has to be by faith. And I know, you know, we think about it tonight. There's two things that I want to share with you tonight that I believe when we see here, the disapproval is of God and it's also by Paul. We can see Hebrews 11:6 tells us that it's without faith, it is impossible to please God. How do we continue and not go back? How do we keep going? I believe Paul tells us here, and I want to share three things that I believe that'll help us to keep us on the right track. Turn with you would to Hebrews 10 and look at verse 19. First of all, I want us to consider Christ. If we keep the consideration of what Christ has done for us, it ought to keep you from wanting to turn away. Look at verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he have consecrated for us, though the veil that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us, first of all, draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. In other words, to keep us from going back, there's a drawing. Let us draw near to him. How are we going to do that? 1 John 1:9. If we're gonna stay in our right relationship, we got to keep a pure heart and a clean slate. Amen? If we sin willfully, God is willing to forgive us. The Bible tells us if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we can keep the slate clean, the heart pure, we can draw near to him. And it'll keep us from turning back. We need to draw near. And when we consider Christ, notice what else he says. Let us hold fast, professing of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. In other words, we ought to be faithful in our profession because he's faithful in his promises. Amen? That's going to keep us drawing near, but it's also going to keep us holding on to professing our faith because we're not ashamed of him. Because he is going to do what he says that he's going to do. God is going to fulfill every promise that he's promised to us. And it's full of promises. Amen? And when we consider Christ and consider Christians, look at verse number 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what I find that is so interesting about this area of scripture that he tells us here about this considering one another? You know what? We need to be faithful to the house of God, considering other people. Why is that so important? Because when I look around, I want to come to the house of God and I want to see faithful people.
Amen.
See, because when you are just like they were, because if they weren't doing it, he wouldn't have to mention it because they weren't faithful to the house of God. And notice what he says here. He's not telling them what they're going to get for being here. He's telling them what's going to happen because they are here. You're going to be an encouragement to somebody else because you're faithful to the house of God. What a tragedy it would be that Stephen would leave for, 3 months and come back and he does not find faithful people still here that was here when he left.
That's right.
You know what? A lot of people show up on Sunday and they're looking around to see who's here. And how encouraging it is sometimes when you come to the house of God, that there's old faithful Ken Duffy rolling in here with his chair. And how disappointing it would be when you come, Pastor Dawson just decided that I ain't going to come today. I'm going to just stay at home. Pastor White, you can preach. Would that be very encouraging? No. He tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, but exalting what? One another. It is an encouragement to other Christians when you're faithful to the house of God. If you want to do something that pleases your pastor, be in church.
Amen.
Be faithful to the house of God.
Amen.
Be faithful when he's here, and be faithful when he's not here. That's what it means to serve God. That's what it means to exalt one another. Because when somebody comes when they haven't been here for a while and they look around, they're wondering, well, where is this person? Or where is that person? It's not just for your benefit. You're not to live the Christian life and just be selfish. You ought to consider other people. Because when you're going through persecution and when you're going to lose your possessions and when you're going through those things, you know what the greatest blessing that you could ever have and give to somebody else is to see that you're still faithful to God. Even in spite of all of those things, he's still faithful to God. Because you know what? He's still faithful. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to fulfill his promises. Why don't you fulfill your profession? Because he's going to fulfill his promises. And we need not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, considering Christ and to consider other Christians. I believe it would help us to stay on track. We won't turn back when we consider what Christ did for us. We don't have to have a high priest anymore. We can go into the holiest of holies. We can go before a holy God ourselves today because of what Christ has done for us. Let us draw near, as he says. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Let us consider one another provoking unto love and to good works. Because that's what Christians need. That's what we need to do in our Christian life, is to consider Christ and to consider other Christians. I believe it'll help us in the days to come. When we go through persecution, when we go through trials, and when we may lose some things along the way, but you know what? We still ought to be faithful to God. And patience is something that we need. It may not happen today, but the greatest blessings that I've ever had in my Christian life was when I waited and allowed God to bring those things to me. The greatest joy you ever have in the Christian life is to wait on God. Because when you try to do it on your own, it does not have the value that it has when you know that God has blessed you with that which you have. And he has blessed us with so many things. Praise God. And one of the greatest things that he's ever blessed us with is the salvation of our soul, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why you want to turn away and go back to living a religion when you can relive in a relationship? And that's what Paul was spelling out to them. What a tremendous thought when you think about it tonight. I'd rather have a relationship than have religion. Religion is sending people to hell. I think about Brianna's testimony. I thought about it Wednesday night. She said, I am so glad that the Shining Light Baptist Church keeps the main thing the right thing and always seeking after souls, because you know what? That's what it's all about. We need to close the door, fold up the chairs, cut off the lights if we ever get away from preaching the word of God and winning lost souls to Jesus Christ, because that's what it's all about. That's what the Christian life is, and that is the greatest joy. You know what? You may not see that person get saved today, but you ought not give up on them, because somebody didn't give up on you. And it takes patience, and we got to wait, for the reward is in heaven. Let's bow our heads tonight and pray. Father, thank you again for tonight. God, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the hope that we can have in heaven and the faith that we need to trust you and to live the Christian life. What a sad testimony that one would want to turn back from the things of God. and live a life for this devil of this world. I pray to be no one here tonight that would want to continue in that way. Because the greatest joy that we can ever have is to live for you. Lord, what patience we have need of, that we're going to receive the reward. And our rewards are in heaven, and it's not in this world. And they may not come when we want them or when we think they ought to, but you're always on time. And your blessings are ever fruitful. Lord, they're ever blessings. They're ever coming, and they never fail. And I thank you so much for this truth tonight, that we could realize you warned us of it, Lord, and the warfare that goes on. But also, Lord, the waiting that needs to take place, but the walk that we ought to have, that we ought to consider Christ and what he's done for us. Consider the Christian, how we not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Let us hold fast, let us draw near, and let us consider one another for the cause of Christ. Let us all stand at our feet. We're going to ask our hymn.